Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1. And let me just say that I am absolutely thrilled to be back at Falls Baptist Church. I love the spirit here. I love your pastor. Every time I have the opportunity, everyone treats me here so well. And pastor said, hey, just make yourself feel at home. You're just at home here at Falls Baptist. I said, no, I'm not. Because I'm treated so nice here. This is not how I'm treated at home. I'm telling you. This is very, very special. And I kind of hope it's never home to me so that you always treat me so nice as you do. And I really do mean that. I'm very excited. Now, I got to tell you, I got a lot of energy and stuff, all right? But I'm sitting here listening to the announcements, and I got worn out. You're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit to do July, and I'm not joking. Wow, what a month you all have. By the way, let me just say this. Let me commend you. All glory goes to God. But you know what? I just love being with your young people last night. I praise the Lord for their heart, their tenderness, their prayers, their comments. We just had a great time last night. Moms and dads, let me encourage you. You're doing a good job, and God's helping you. God's using you, and you've got some arrows that are going in the right direction. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, I'm telling you, you have arrows here that are headed for the target of God's will, and I thank God for your young people. So we do need a little training to begin with because you got so many parades going on. So everyone, let's take a moment just real quick, and let's practice our parade smile and our parade wave, okay? Come on now, everyone, get your right hand up. Get your right hand up. Now look, see, some of you guys are going like that. You cannot do that for 2 hours, okay? So there is a parade wave, and it's just kind of a, all right? So look at somebody in the congregation, give them a parade smile and a parade. Come on, Zach, let's get going. Let's see that parade. All right, we all got it? I don't know, Pastor. You better not be on the float, I'm telling you right now. You have got to get that parade. Yeah, no, you can't do that for two. It's this. All right, you guys are all set. I'd give anything to be on that float. I just want you to know. I am a float kind of guy. So I would give anything for that. But I am so excited about all the opportunities that you have. And I really believe you've got to get a hold of this message if July's going to be the July that you desire it to be. Because it will not be Falls Baptist. It will be the work of the Holy Spirit. And you need to be filled with him. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. A very familiar passage of scripture in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Let's stand for the reading of God's word today. These are just such great verses. I may make a couple remarks as we read. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we will look at the wonderful witness. We're going to look at God's power to be a witness. We're going to look at God's plan to be a witness, and we're going to look at God's places to be a witness. But look with me at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? I want to pay attention to verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, one thing, I heard this from somebody else, but I just absolutely love this. This started out as a prophecy conference, and Jesus is going to make it into a missions conference, okay? I just love that. But I want to also tell you all something. We do not know the times or the seasons. Therefore, very soberly, this could be the last ultimate challenge you ever have. This could be your last VBS you ever have. This may be the last time your float ever goes in Menominee Falls and all the outlying areas. There needs to be an urgency in July Because folks, I'm ready to hear the trumpet. How about you? We do not know the seasons. We do not know the times. But I think we would all agree this very well could be the last time you ever have Vacation Bible School out of this church. The last ultimate challenge. So you need to have an urgency about you. Look at verse number 8 now. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be, everyone in here together, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Father, may we be the witness that you plan us to be, that you expect us to be, and Father, that we can be. May we be the witness in this area of Wisconsin in the month of July. Father, if it's going to be done by human resources, there's going to be strife in VBS. There's going to be ultimate challenge competition that's not just the games. Father, this cannot be a work of Falls Baptist. It has got to be the work of the Spirit of God that we are, and Father, I couldn't have asked. Lord, I wouldn't have known what song would be a great one to start today's service. Father, Channels Only is it. That is what we've got to be in July. We have got to be a channel that the Spirit of God flows through. Whether we are on that flow, whether we are smiling to people, whether we're walking alongside and handing out tracts, we've got to be a channel. Father, everywhere we go, that was just the perfect song. And now, Lord, I pray that we will be a wonderful witness for you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this pastor, his vision, his burden, his heart. Lord, keep giving him that evangelistic heart from Menominee Falls and this part of Wisconsin and the world. And Lord, I pray that you'll protect this ministry. Now, Lord, speak to us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I ask this in the one name that we're going out to witness for, in the name of Jesus Christ. And God's church said, amen. You may be seated. First of all, I want you to see God's power to be a witness. Now, already, there's two words we've got to define. There are two very important words in our verse that in order to get the 3 points, you got to understand these two words. Number one is power. Notice at the end of verse 7, the word power is mentioned. This has the idea of authority power. But the power in verse 8 is one of the most important Greek words in the New Testament. It is that word dunamis, however you want to put an ending to it, but it's that word dunamis. Oh, that's the word we get dynamite from. Okay, that destroys what that word is trying to say. It is true. We get the word dynamite from the Greek word dynamos. But I think you misunderstand the word when you define it that way. The idea of this Greek word, listen to this, is enablement. Enablement. I like that word, enable. Would you all say that word with me? Enable. In other words, this is a power to be able to do what you're called to do. There is an enablement, an ability to do what God's called you to do. The second word that we've got to understand is martyr, or is the word witness, which we know is the Greek word martyr. Now, this is what I wrote down for a definition. What was a witness, a martyr? This is what the word means. One who testifies of a truth that they have seen, heard, experienced, or known. Okay, one who testifies of a truth that they have seen, heard, experienced, or known. Today in the higher purpose class, I'm going to refer to a couple times, the group of men that we were around, I asked them when they got saved. And so they were all giving their testimonies of what they have experienced in their life, what they know in their life, what they have seen God do in their life, and how they've heard God speak to them in their life. They were a witness around the table. Now, we do use that word martyr for somebody who dies for their faith. So I think in the true Greek core, it means one who testifies of a truth that they have seen, heard, experienced, or known. But I'll tell you what I added on to that they are willing to die for. Because that is how we use the term today, as a martyr, one who's willing to die for their faith. Now, all I want to say is this. Are you willing to die for what you're giving out at VBS? Are you willing to die for that truth? Now, I don't think anyone is going to die at VBS. I don't think anyone's going to die at the Ultimate Challenge. If you are going to be a witness, you are testifying of a truth that you have seen, heard, experienced, and known, and I'm willing to die for that. Because you know what? That comes across in the way you present the gospel. When you are saying, no, what I am sharing with you is life and death stuff. Now, we're going to share it to 7-year-old kids. We're going to share it to 17-year-old teenagers. But there has to be in your spirit, hey, this is life and death truths. Now, we're going to play these games. This is what's going to attract an unsaved person. We're going to do all these events. But what we're given is big time stuff. And make sure that whatever event you're in, whether you're handing a track out, that they understand just in the way that you hand it out, just in the spirit on your face that you give it out, this is big time stuff. This is life or death things. That comes across in your aura. Are you a witness? Do you testify of the truth? And by the way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What is truth? Well, it's really not a what. Truth is a who. And you are giving the truth out when you share with other people Jesus Christ. So we got to understand a couple definitions. Now, I want to go back to the word power, because the first thing is God's power to be a witness. He enables us, and by the way, my first point's my long point, okay? It's almost 2/3 of the entire message, so don't get like, how long is this gonna be? Well, my first point is mostly my message. I want you to see 4 areas that he enables us, because I think this is the power we need. Number one, he enables us with favor. He enables us with favor. Now, I wanna give 3 words, and if you're writing down any notes, I would write down these 3 notes. These 3 words need to be prominent in your entire life, but definitely in the month of July. Here they are. How do you get this enablement of favor? Okay, number one, you have to be sensitive of the promptings of the Holy Spirit. God's putting something on your heart, who to talk to, who to center on, what to say, what to do. You're sensitive of the promptings. Number 2, you're strategic. You're sensitive for this favor that God may give you with someone. It may be a waitress, maybe a neighbor this month. It may be a coworker. It may be that God gave you a favor. You know what? God gave me some favor right then. You got to be sensitive of that favor. Number 2, you got to be strategic with it. When do you cash in on that favor? What do you say? When do you say it? How do you say it? You got to be strategic in the favor, in the enabling. Okay, so it's God who enables you, but you have to be sensitive to that enabling. You have to be strategic with it, and you got to be a good steward of it. Okay, let me say, okay, Billy Sheller, I'm not sure I understand. Okay, so let me give you a few areas. Some of you have favor with younger ones. You have some young people in your neighborhood that are younger than you. You're an older man. You're an older woman. But you have neighbor kids that really like you. And you have favor over, some of you are bosses, supervisors. You have younger people under you. Some of you, you're older, but there's some teenagers that really like you and they really appreciate you. That is favor that you need to be sensitive about, you need to be strategic with, and you need to be a steward of. Now, let me tell you, if you still haven't figured this out, let me just give you a personal, subjective illustration for a moment. There is no way I ever thought that at 67 years old that I would do 17 camps a summer and that I would preach to 15 to 20,000 teenagers a year. Okay. I am an old, fat, white guy. Okay. And if you, and my life is so far away from a 14-year-old girl. I mean, they live on another planet than I live on. They do. I get up on that Monday night in chapel, or in the Monday night, the first night of a camp, and I know they're looking at me, and they go like, whoa, could they not have got a person a little younger than this old guy? And they go, but you know what? And I say this, God knows my heart. There is no question. God has given me a favor with teenagers. I don't deserve it. I didn't. Well, that's because of the way I did. No, it is nothing. There is not my voice. There's nothing that I'm not athletic. I'm not musical. There is nothing that teenagers would go like, man, that's the guy. That's the guy. There's nothing that is the guy. Okay. But I am telling you something. God has given me a favor with teens. I can get with a group of teenagers, and I just feel more comfortable with teenagers than just about any age group. And there's just a connection. Okay, now listen. I need to be sensitive with that. Because it's just going to be, hey, Pop, I'm a rock star. No, bub. That favor can go like that. Are you strategic with your favor with teens? Are you stewarding that right? Now listen, some of you have favor with younger ones. You need to utilize that favor. That is an enablement. That's God. God gave you that favor. You didn't get that favor. You didn't, well, that's my personality. No, it is not. Well, that's because I drive this car. No, it is not. It is because God allowed you to have that. That's the Holy Spirit working. You got to be sensitive of that. Well, I always thought it was my person. No, it's not. God gave you that favor. Now, some of you have favor with peers, your coworkers, your neighbors. There's a favor with your peers. Yeah, some of you teenagers. There are other teenagers that like you. Yeah, well, that's because I'm kind of cool. No, that is an enablement of the Holy Spirit. And in the month of July, you need to utilize that for the cause of Christ. That is God enabling you with favor. Let me tell you another one. Some of you have favor with older people. There are people in your neighborhood that your parents could not witness to, but you could. There are individuals, you may have a boss, a supervisor. You may have an elderly person that you have a connection with that no one else has. I think we would be amazed of how many people God has given us favor with that is represented in this crowd tonight. Today, there could be, without any exaggeration, over 10,000 people in Menominee Falls area that God has given this group favor with that you ought to utilize for your witness. God has enabled you with that. Are you with me? You need to understand the favor he's given. Number two, he enables us with boldness. Now, my view of boldness, I'm not here to patronize. I'm not. I'm just telling you the honest truth. I thought it would encourage you. My view of boldness changed at a victory conference that we did on boldness, I don't know how many years ago. I've never looked at boldness the same way. It changed my life. Matter of fact, almost every victory conference, whatever your theme is, changes my life, you know? And I appreciate that, the way that you handle a topic. But I tell you, that year that we did boldness, it showed me some things. Boldness is not being obnoxious. You're not, I'm bold in the Lord. No one likes me, but that's because I'm bold. No, that's because you're full of yourself. Okay, that has nothing to do with spiritual boldness. Being obnoxious, belittling people, being a bigot, beating people over the head, that is not boldness. Boldness is that courage to do what is right verbally when everyone's doing wrong. But that you're willing, speaking the truth in love. Being able to speak the truth in love. Lies are not love. We got to start being bold on what we believe and what we have. And the Holy Spirit enables us. Now, the best verse of this whole point is 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And you know, it's interesting. That is not the Greek word phobia there. It is the word to be a coward, to be a timid, to be shy. In the month of July, Falls Baptist, God has not given you the spirit of being a coward. Well, I just don't think I could walk behind a float and hand out tracts. That's just not my thing. Wait a second. You need to ask the Lord what he'd have you do. Not what, well, I just don't feel good about something like that. You know what? God has not given you the spirit of fear. Now, what is he giving you the spirit of? But he's given you the spirit of, what is it? Power. Power. And what is that word? Enablement. It is the exact word that the Holy Spirit gives us. He gives us an enablement. What? With love and of a sound mind. A discipline. So I know how to present the gospel. I do it in a loving way. And I'm enabled by the Holy Spirit. God has not given me a spirit of fear. But he has given me a spirit of enablement, of love, and of a disciplined mind to be able to give the gospel out. Boldness. Number three, he enables us in the Holy, he enables us with favor. He enables us with boldness. Number three, he enables us with compassion. I love this part. See, our witnessing, we're just channels. That's all we are. We're channels that the Holy Spirit flows through. And that's all we do. And this is a really good one on compassion. Not too long ago, Marilee and I went out to Applebee's. And we sat down in a booth. We ordered. And I said, Marilee, I got to go to the restroom. So I got up and I was going to the restroom. And as I did, I walked past a booth. Mom was on one side. And her three girls were on the other side. And they were just the cutest little set up. And, you know, you just knew single mom with these three girls, you know. And I walked by, and I kind of waved. And the littlest girl, I'm telling you, she's got to be 4 years old, three, 4 years old. The littlest girl says, hi, honey. It was just such a bizarre, like, I was like, well, hi, honey, to you, you know. And I went to the restroom. I'm washing my hands. And I'm telling you, and this is, you gotta hear this. Okay, my wife will be the first to say, Jim, you are not the most compassionate person in the world. I'm not. I'm not a real compassionate person. I feel for things, but I'm not naturally mercy and compassion. That's not me. I'm washing my hands, and Pastor, the Holy Spirit enabled me with compassion. Hey, go back and talk to that family. Go back and talk to that mom. Go back, talk to those girls. And there, I walked out of that restroom with a love for four people I've never met in my entire life. Where does that come from? Okay, that does not come from Shuttler. That comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enables you with compassion. Having compassion making a difference. Jude verse 22. That it comes on you. And God enables you. Listen, last night, a lot of the high school girls are going to be line leaders for VBS. We were taking prayer requests. I said, well, I'm going to be a line leader. I have no idea what a line leader is, but you got a lot of them here, okay? I don't know what they do or whatever. But I figure, which is going to be a work of the Holy Spirit, I'm thinking they got to keep the kids in line, I guess. I don't know, you know. But all these, but you know what I pray? I pray that while those teen girls are line leaders, that God will enable them to have compassion for the ones following them and that they'll have a heart. And God will. God wants you to be a witness. He'll enable you with compassion, that there's a love. By the way, we went back. I got to finish that story. So Marilee and I finished. We went over. Come to find out, she's got five girls. Two of them are older now, and she had the three there, and she's a single parent. She said that she knew the Lord, but we just sat and we talked about the Lord. We pulled up chairs. Marilee and I just sat with them for a little bit. We laughed, and of course, we ended in prayer. And when we started praying, that mother just started to cry. And I'm going to tell you, that is not a Shetler thing. That was the Holy Spirit enabling us with compassion. And God will do that. God will give you the power to love people that are unloving. That is God. You're a channel. God working through you. You got to stay sensitive, strategic, and steward. Then number four, he enables us with joy. Now, I'm going to say a statement that's pretty sensational, but that's good. You need to hear a sensational statement every Sunday, you know, kind of like, oh, is that really true? So here goes. Here goes. I believe it is far better never to witness than to witness without joy. That's what I believe. Go ahead. Please don't try me on this one. I'm going to try being real mean and see if I lead someone to the Lord. Okay? Don't try it, okay? Either believe me or don't believe me, but don't experiment, okay? Unless you're going to experiment with joy. Hey, I really do believe this, folks. The world does not want our doctrine. They got it. They're natural man. They don't want our doctrine. But I'll tell you what they do want. They want our joy. They want our joy. And you can, yeah, take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 51. I love this passage. Here we got a guy that's getting right with God. And you need to make sure that you're right with God before you're starting to go out. And David getting right with God. He's confessing his sin. And you guys know these two verses, but they are so beautiful for your month of July. Look at something. This is what ought to happen on June 30th. Coming into this month, this is what you better be praying. Restore. Look at verse 12, Psalm 51. Restore unto me the, everyone together, joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now look at this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Look at verse 13. Then, when's that, Brother Shetler? After they have joy, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Oh, help me. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation in the month of July. God, may I remember what you did for me. And know that I'm forgiven of my sins. God, give me my joy back again. And then you'll be able to teach transgressors and sinners will be converted unto thee. It is the Holy Spirit that enables you to have joy. I might have mentioned this guy here one other time, but I want to share this with you. I think the last time I might have been here and mentioned it, he was still alive and he is passed now. I had a dear friend. I got to tell you how I got my friend real quick. Years ago in the early 90s, I was on vacation in northern Michigan. I remember I was up in Traverse City, Michigan, and I was walking one morning. And I was just thinking about Pensacola and pastoring the campus church and da-da-da-da-da. And I don't know what came in, popped in my mind. Jim, if you could witness to one person in the city of Pensacola, who would you witness to? And I'm just talking to myself, but I do that all the time. And I said, Fred Levin. Fred Levin. Fred Levin is one of the top, back then, he was one of the top 50 trial lawyers in the United States and in the world. He was almost a billionaire in the early 90s, worth way over $500 million. He's the richest man from Mobile to Tallahassee. And I just said, if I could witness to one guy, I'd like to witness to Fred Levin. Well, I had a contact in Pensacola that knows Fred Levin, worked in his law firm. And I said to him, hey, could you ever get me a lunch with Fred Levin? And the guy's name's Joe. And he said, hey, Pastor, I got to tell you, everyone wants to get with Fred because of his money. So he says, I don't think you're going to get a chance because he's going to think you're after his money. And I said, just tell Fred this. Tell Fred that that Pastor Shetler doesn't want any of his money but wants his soul. I said, just tell him that. He said, okay. 48 hours later, I had a lunch with Fred Levin. And it was so cool because my contact was there at the lunch. And the contact got a call during the lunch and he had to go. And so I'm all alone with Fred Levin. And my contact was the guy who drove me. So I don't even have a vehicle. So Fred Levin's got to drive me back to PCC on the campus and drop me off. And so we were together. And man, I got to tell you, I said, this is a one-time deal. I am just giving him the gospel. And I told him, I said, Fred, I said, I know I never met you before. But I said, and I told him about the thing up at Traverse City. I said, I want to tell you something. I was kind of talking to myself. And I said, who would you want to witness to more than anyone else in Pensacola? And I said, you, Fred. I said, I want to tell you the gospel. Well, he was very intrigued with that. We develop a friendship that goes over 20 years. I got a couple pictures. I got this first picture that's the last picture. That's my last picture. I got to show that. Yeah, that's my second. And then that is my first picture. Yeah, that's my first picture. Okay, we saw all the pictures. Let's go to the next point. No, we'll do this picture. Okay, this is a sad one, though. This is the last time I ever see Fred Levin. Marilise at his house, and so is Ben and Mackenzie, my son, who's an apologist. And all four of us are there witnessing to Fred. Fred's got COVID. He didn't let anyone in his home except for his caregiver. I was the only one, and he let me and my family come in, and we had to stay away from him, but we are the, not even his family. He did not allow his family into his house, but we were all there, and man, I'm telling you, we witnessed to this guy. We witnessed to this guy, and he did not receive the Lord at this meeting, but I'm telling you, we were burdened. Show the next one. Show the next slide. Yeah, this is Fred Knight. This is kind of cool. That's a Rolls Royce that John F. Kennedy and Jacqueline Onassis used to own. And we were there, and I would go over, and I would stay at his home. And just the times that we had, it was just amazing. And then the last one, I want to show you something. This other guy that's here is a guy named Kay Stevenson. He used to be a quarterback for the San Diego Chargers, and then he was the head coach of the Buffalo Bills in the early 1990s. I had a Bible study every Friday with these guys. And I'm telling you, we studied the Bible. And I want to say this. One time, evangelist Dave Young said, hey, would you ever let anyone else come to your Bible study? And I said, well, I don't ever, but I'll bring you once. And so Dave Young came one, and when we got out to the car, he said, okay, was that like the best Bible study you guys have ever had? I said, no, that's the kind of Bible study we have every Friday. He said, that was the most theological conversation I've ever heard. I said, I'm telling you something. Every Friday, I meet with Kay and Fred, and this is what we talk about. One day, I flew back from California, and I was visiting family and when I was out at West Coast, and I went out to lunch with Fred, and I asked Fred, I said, Fred, let me ask you something. Why am I your friend? And he said, what? I said, why am I your friend? Am I one of your closest friends? He said, you are. I said, why? And he didn't say anything for a minute, and we ate, and he did not say anything. You know, this guy's a lawyer, you know. And it's about a minute. He doesn't say a thing. And he says, you know why you're my friend? He said, I got all the money in the world. But you got a joy that I want. Now, I don't know if Fred ever got saved, guys. I don't know if he ever did. He has now passed. And that is, and the reason why I bring this up is because of this. You get anything today, you get this. God does not judge our witnessing by how many people we get saved. God judges our witnessing by what we enable the Holy Spirit to do in our lives. I don't know if Fred ever got saved, but I know that the Holy Spirit enabled me to love this man. The Holy Spirit enabled me to have favor with this man. The Holy Spirit enabled me to have joy around this man. That was all of the Holy Spirit. When we get to heaven, we don't get judged by how many people we saw at VBS get saved. We are judged by the witness that we are. And witnessing is judged by the way we enable the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Okay, really quick, number two. Number one, God's power to be a witness. Number two, real quick, two and three, God's plan to be a witness. God's plan to be a witness. All right, this is really good. Look back at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here's the plan. But ye shall receive power. There's the power to be a witness. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There's your power. And here's the plan. And ye shall be witnesses. Brother Shelley, what kind of plan is that? Yeah. This is the plan. You are the witnesses. You say, okay, what's the next point, Brother Shelley? We'll stop just for a minute. The plan is not signs and wonders. The plan isn't angels. The plan isn't all these exciting and sensational things. I'll tell you what the plan is. You being a witness. And can I tell you something else? There's no plan B. There's no plan B. If you don't witness, people don't get saved. There is no plan B to the gospel. The plan is you got to be a witness. Now, I think the greatest illustration of this in the Bible is Acts chapter 10. So you're into Acts 1, so just run over to Acts 10, and I'm going to start reading verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, now wait, who came to him? Everyone together, who came to him? A what? An angel of God came to Cornelius. He saw a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, oh, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon of a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now, if I'm Cornelius and I got an angel at my house, and I've been praying for salvation and figuring this whole thing out, and the angel comes and says, hey, I want you to go to this guy in Joppa, this guy named Peter, and everything. I'm saying this. You want to just do it right now? I got an angel in my house. Angel, why don't you go ahead and do this? Angel says, I can't. I'm not part of the plan. It's got to be you. Let me tell you guys something. By the way, why did God do that? Because you got to admit, angels would run a better ultimate challenge than you guys, okay? So why does God use you? Because you know what? It's not only about the lost person. It's about the witness. Because Peter's going to learn a whole lot about Gentiles. And you're going to learn a lot about sinners in the month of July. So you know what? Guys, here's the plan. You are the witnesses. And if you don't witness in Menominee Falls doesn't get saved. You are the witnesses. And there's no plan B. It's not going to be wonders. It's not going to be signs. It's not going to be angels. It's going to be you. So you better be a good line leader. You better make some really good cookies for VBS. You better do a good job of waving, because you're the plan. And if you mess up the plan, guys, nobody's getting saved. You're the plan. God's going to use you. And then number three. Oh, I got to tell you about number two, though. I got one story. You got to hear this. Hey, I'm so pumped on this message. Even if we don't have a service tonight, that's okay. Just get this one, okay? Here we go. This is so good. Well, Brother Shetler, I don't think I'm going to be the guy that gives a testimony or witnesses, because I don't really have much. I got saved when I was six. So I really don't have a lot to share. Well, first of all, it's not about your story. It's about the gospel. And make sure you give that. But I want to tell you this. Every one of you actually do have a testimony. It's the last night of college, May 11th, 1979. I'm about to graduate the next day. And I was a dorm suite floor leader, and I'm with two other guys, my best friend Fred and another guy named Keith Meadows, and we got the whole dorm. We got all the guys, and they're all pumped up and everything like that. And I'll never forget this. So Keith gets up, gives a testimony, and all the guys are running around, you know, they're, go Keith. And then I get up, and Shetler stirs them all up, you know, and they're all excited. Yeah, Shetler, you're the guy. Hey, man, it's been the greatest 4 years of my life, blah, 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 blah. Then my best friend, I never had, it was like Jonathan and David, never had a better friend in college than Fred Carlson. And Fred gets up, and he says this. He says, hey, guys, I want to share a testimony with you that I've never shared before with anyone. Shetler does not even know. He said those words. He says, Shetler doesn't even know what I'm about to say. And I'm thinking, Fred, there's nothing you've ever done. I don't know. And he said, Shetler doesn't even know. And he goes on for 10 minutes talking about, in his teen years, his immorality, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, thievery. He goes on for 10 minutes. And the guys keep looking over at me like, is that true? I go like, I don't know, I've never heard this before. And Fred talks about that for 10 minutes. At the end of that, he says these words. You could have heard a pin drop. We go like, this is a Fred Carlson we never heard before. You could have heard a pin drop. And Fred says this. Hey, guys, everything I've just told you in the last 10 minutes is a lie. I never did one of those things. Well, it was so tense that when he said that, we erupted in laughter. We all started laughing. We go, I knew that. I said, there's no way that could be the man. Oh, man, that was a man alive. Why? And then tears are coming down his cheeks. And Fred said, guys, I want to stand and testify tonight. I never had any of those things happen because of the grace of God. And I want to thank God tonight that at 22 years of age, I never experienced any of that. Now listen to me. I don't care who you are. If you've been saved out of that life, to God be the glory. That was his grace. If you have been saved from that, to God be the glory. That was the grace of God. And I want to tell you, you have a testimony. You are the plan, guys. If you don't witness, nobody's witnessing, because there ain't no angels coming to Menominee Falls. It's you. And then finally, God's places to be a witness. And you know them. Jerusalem, I call that your home and your family. Judea, I call that where you live. Your Home Depot, your Walmart, your grocery stores. Your Judea is where you live. This is not my statement, but I have loved this. About 4 years ago, I was at a missions conference, and one of the speakers said this, and I went like, okay, that is like the coolest statement. And he said this, every trip is a missions trip. I love that. Every trip is a missions trip. When I go to Piggly Wiggly, it's a missions trip. Dollar Tree, it's a missions trip, okay? Dollar Tree especially. Okay, let me tell you. Wherever you go, help me out, every trip is a... You remember that in the month of July, and you remember that the rest of your life. Every trip is a missions trip. Brother Shallow, we're really looking forward to hearing the Gilmer, all of their stories about Papua New Guinea. Yeah, well, let me tell you, why don't you make some of your own stories at VBS this year? Because it's a missions trip. To work, it's a mission. The float is a missions trip. All of it is a missions trip. Your Judea, your Jerusalem, your Samaria. And I close with this. Your Samaria, uttermost parts of the world, yeah. Your Samaria is out of your comfort zone. That's the place you don't want to go. Well, you know what? I'm going to really pray for VBS, and I'm going to really support VBS, but I don't do the VBS thing. Yeah, well, why don't you go to your Samaria and get out of your comfort zone and get involved? Do something in July that is your Samaria, that is out of your comfort zone, that you wouldn't normally do, but I'm going to do this to be channels only. Now, Falls Baptist, the church can organize these methods. They can put together these programs, but you got to be the witness. And it's got to be done by the power of the Spirit of God. He enables you. You're the plan. And we got the places. Now, will you be the witness? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And for invitation, I would like channels only, actually. Because I think that's what we're really making the invitation about. Will you be that channel that God works through you? And I'm going to tell you this. I'm asking this for 1 month. I'm asking, the invitation is not for November of 2024. Today's invitation is, will you be a channel in July of 2024? By the way, we don't even know we got July, folks. We don't even know what we have. And this could be the last VBS ultimate challenge this church ever puts on. So would you be willing to be that witness and allow God to enable you? Now, I'm going to say something in this invitation. Here's what you're going to make a decision about. God, at the end of July, I don't want to be worn out from doing all of these activities. I want to be revived how you worked through me. I do not have an invitation today for you to wear yourself out in the month of July. That is not what this invitation is about. You are not coming forward this morning to say, God, I'll put in oodles of hours. God, I'll do this. No, that is not what this is about. This is about, God, I want to be a channel for the Holy Spirit to enable me to be the witness that you want me to be. I cannot do this in my own power. I am coming forward to say, God, I'm going to be a conduit. I am going to be a channel for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to keep my life. I protect my life. I want to stay close. I want to be sensitive. I want to be strategic. God, I want you to use me. And God, I want to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and I want Him to enable me. And I'm coming forward as an empty vessel. I'm coming forward to be a channel in the month of July in Menominee Falls. God, work through me this month. I can't do it. I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. I don't have the resources. But it says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit will come upon us and will give us power to be a witness. I want to be that. I want to be that channel.